Chapter 21. Nia pulled her coat more tightly around her, walked quickly to the front door, thinking all the time, and finally took a deep breath and went in. The interior of the hotel was smart, although rather old-fashioned, with flocked red and gold wallpaper and red velvet chairs. She caught sight of Ethan entering a room at the further end of the lobby and closing the door firmly behind him. Nia was wondering what to do next when she heard a gentle cough behind her. She swung round to see a receptionist behind the desk. "Can I help you?" Nia's mind was racing. What was her excuse for being here? "I was wondering if you have a pamphlet with details about your hotel. I have elderly relatives coming over for a holiday." The words tumbled out, but she was pretty pleased with her improvisation.
"Of course."
The receptionist took a pamphlet from a smart wooden stand on the desk, but she did look rather puzzled.
"Most people look us up online now. The website has a virtual tour of the hotel, everything you need to know."
"Oh, they hate doing anything online." The receptionist smiled.
"Ah, like my aunt. Funny, isn't it? My grandparents show me new things, but my aunt won't even try."
She looked around.
"You know, I could give you a quick tour. Things are very quiet this evening."
As the woman seemed glad of something to do, and seeing an opportunity to learn something helpful, Nia accepted the offer. Nia was shown an empty bedroom, which she had to admit looked extremely comfortable, admired the ensuite, and then came down to be shown the lounge and dining area. This was empty, although she was assured it was busy on a Saturday night, open to non-residents, and booking was advised. They finished the tour back at reception. Nia pointed to the door behind which Ethan had disappeared.
"And what is that room for?" she asked.
It was a ridiculous question, she realised that, but it was worth a shot.
"People hire it for meetings."
Nia sighed. That wasn't any help, but she couldn't see how she could ask any more. Also, rather alarmingly, she saw a man about Ethan's age coming out of the room and decided it was high time she left.
"Thank you so much. I'm sure my relatives will look forward to coming," she said,
and was about to leave when she heard someone call her name.
"Nia?"
Her heart sank. She turned to face Ethan striding across the lobby towards her, scowling.
"What the hell are you doing here?" he barked.
Aware the hotel receptionist was watching them, probably enjoying a bit of drama on a Sunday evening, Nia said to Ethan,
"I was asking for details, that's all. I have relatives who may like to stay here."
Her mouth was horribly dry. The words fell like a stone. Ethan took hold of her arm and steered her out through the front door and to a place in the shadows.
"Now tell me why you are really here. Did you follow me?"
Nia was very aware she was alone and she was scared. Ethan loomed over her, his face red and angry. Unable to speak, she nodded, and he stepped back, throwing his hands in the air.
"Why the hell would you do that?"
His voice now held more bewilderment than anger, but she was still on her guard.
"You told Elvira you stayed at the rescue centre, but Jade said you left early to go to the other surgery."
"And you needed to find out where I actually went, but why? What possible interest could it be to you?"
He was scrutinising her face as if she were some strange insect he'd never seen before, and then his face cleared. But it wasn't a look of relief she saw. His mouth was tight, his eyes narrow.
"I was wondering what you do on Sunday nights."
Even to Nia, it sounded weak.
"Why Sunday?"
He paused.
"My God, is this to do with Ruby? Are you checking on everyone? Seeing if anyone could have gone down to the beach after you? All those things you said at the vigil about the letters and things. Those questions about ketamine on our walk."
His face darkened.
"My God, you don't just suspect someone of going down to talk to Ruby or mess around with letters. You think one of us may have been responsible for her death."
Nia felt like a child caught out doing something foolish.
"I'm sorry, I don't know," she stammered.
His eyes were bright now.
"Good God!" A car drove past them, heading to the car park. You do know this is absurd, said Ethan. I'm confused. Elvira told me what you and Jade said at the hen party. I assumed you were both drunk. You have to understand this. No one, and I mean not one person in the close, would hurt Ruby. Insinuating anything else is deeply offensive. He nodded towards the hotel. As to what I'm doing in there, I don't see that is any of your business, and what you actually need to do is sort out your own life, go home, back to your husband, and stop using the tragic death of someone we all loved to avoid facing the problems in your own life. Without another word, he left her and marched back into the hotel. Her face burning with humiliation, Nia ran back to her car. Her hands trembled as she opened the door, and as she slumped over the wheel, she burst into tears. There was truth in what he said, and it hurt. What the hell was she doing? Nia looked around, half expecting Romeo to be there to comfort her, but of course he was back at the house. She found a crumpled old tissue in the side pocket of the car, blew her nose, and turned to retrace her route home. As she was driving, she calmed down and cleared her thoughts. He was wrong. Ruby's death wasn't a distraction. It mattered. The truth was that Ethan had been lying and he'd not explained what he'd been up to in that hotel. He'd humiliated her, but actually he was the one who was deceiving his partner. Nia realised she was on the road to Fort Victoria. She must look that up and see what it was. Glancing at the clock in her car, she saw it was just gone 10, the time Ian and Richie were meant to be swimming. Maybe she should check they were there. Well aware of the fool she'd felt after following Ethan, she hesitated at the idea of any further adventures that night. Nia slowed down as she saw the turning approach. Was she really going to do this? What the hell? She had nothing to lose. Her pride was already in pieces. She began the twisty descent to the fort, passing smart houses and woodland. The house was on the right, wasn't it? A Latin name. Mare something. And then she saw it. A huge, immaculate modern house. Security lights shone brightly out the front. Ian's car parked on the run-in, Richie's bike leant against double garage doors. She could simply turn around. Leave. After all, they were here. But she had to see for herself. Nia parked next to Ian's car. Getting out, she was aware of being flooded with light, but neighbouring houses were far apart. The lights weren't going to bother anyone. To the side of the house was a large metal gate. She pushed it and was surprised to open it easily. More lights lit her path until she reached the back garden. This was subtly lit so that she could see the perfectly manicured lawns, trimmed hedges and trees. To her left was a large wooden studio, but over to her right was an enormous swimming pool. Nia walked along the tiled pathway to the pool, listening to the rhythmic splash of Ian and Richie swimming. Ian looked up, waved and swam towards her. With little effort, he climbed out.
What the hell are you doing here?
At least there was amusement rather than anger in his voice.
I don't know. After you mentioned this place, I thought I'd come and have a look.
Have you brought your swimming gear?
She shook her head. No, I was just passing.
At this time of night?
I've been to the rescue centre with Jade and Ethan and called in here on my way back.
Bit of a roundabout route.
His eyes were screwed up now.
Lucy said you were asking if Richie and I swam the night Ruby died. You'd not be checking up on us, would you?
The laugh she attempted was too loud and harsh, and she quickly sidestepped the subject and started to enthuse about the pool.
We're so lucky,
he pointed over to the studio.
That's the gym we have access to as well.
Nia looked over at the black outline of what appeared to be a rather unglamorous solid brick building, although she guessed inside it would have all the latest gym equipment.
I much prefer it out here, said Ian. I love swimming at night under the stars. You can't beat it.
Is it heated?
Certainly is. I come all year round, apart from January. No one in their right mind does exercise outdoors then.
Richie had reached her end. He didn't stop, though, and as he swam away from her, she saw the dragon tattoo on his leg.
Nia had often thought of having a small tattoo, a lotus flower or Safi's name, but knew she'd never have the nerve to have anything as large and impressive as that. Ian shivered.
I think I'd better get back in. Are you on your way now, then?
Of course. I'll see you around. Nia left quickly, glad to get back to the car, and drove home. It was very late, and she was greeted enthusiastically by Romeo.
I'm so sorry, I've been gone too long. Come on, let's get out.
She started to walk him through the town until she reached the pier. Together they walked along the wooden planks, the bright light at the other end lighting her path. Each plank had the name of a sponsor on it in white paint, and the words shone in the darkness. The sea below and surrounding them was a dark, inky blue-black, but the waves were gentle and soothing. At the end of the pier, she found a few fishermen. She recognised the one she'd bumped into the night Ruby died, but she couldn't see Joe. The fisherman suddenly seemed to realise who she was.
You're that girl, aren't you? The one that came off the beach the night that poor girl died.
Yes.
She held her breath, waiting for him to shout at her, tell her off for drinking, deserting her friend. But his reply took her by surprise.
I'm sorry about dobbing you into the police like that.
That's okay. You had to tell them if you saw someone.
Yeah, but I didn't expect them to go on about you drinking and all that. It's becoming a police state, that's what it is.
It's all right, I understand.
As long as you know I wasn't trying to get you into trouble.
You spoke to my friend Ruby on the beach after me.
I could make out the shape of a person. I just shouted down and she told me she was all right and I left her be.
Nia looked out to sea.
It must get very cold out here at night. Do many of you fish here?
You have to have permission, like. There's only a few of us regulars.
The wind was building up. Nia shivered.
I'd better be getting back. Nice to chat. Good fishing.
As she made her way home, she glanced up at the vets, saw the parking spaces next to it empty. Ethan and Elvira were still out. It struck her again that this was very late for Elvira to be visiting her mother. Maybe it suited Ethan for her to be out late, as it stopped her looking too carefully into what he was up to. Nia needed to know more about what they were both up to, and now it seemed she had to check up on Joe. He'd clearly been lying for some time about what he did on a Sunday evening. Ethan had not been convinced. So where did he go, and, more importantly, where was he the night Ruby died?